Welcome to another episode of the best podcast since Dan Malden's Trail Mix Review. With special thanks to our patrons, especially Scribbles and Carlo.
Hello, welcome to the Broadly Bad Podcast, a podcast which is definitely bad. I'm Pencil.
I'm Paper. And today's Probably Bad RPG idea is make the Paladin Code of Conduct less restrictive by saying you can do evil acts, but you have to release a tearful apology video on YouTube afterwards.
Every time you kill like innocents, you play a little ukulele apology song.
So the reason I picked this one out was because I was reading about carbon offsets and just also writing a story set in like a Catholic convent and just thinking about like what if we made them more accurate to like Catholicism and just said, well, you shouldn't really do these things, but if you're sorry afterwards, it's fine.
I think, honestly, if you're like looking at any RPG and going, what if we made this close to Catholicism, is always going to lead to an interesting concept, at the very least.
I just really like the idea of Paladin Confession.
Yeah, Paladin Indulgences. You pay a guy and you're no longer fallen. I feel it has to be a YouTube video. Which is a problem because YouTube doesn't exist in a D&D setting. Which does imply that Paladins strictly hold to their oath at the moment because there's no YouTube videos. But then
they have a special tube that they have to get in and then just sing a song about how sorry they are, and then they can get out of the tube and then it's okay.
Is that the confession booth?
Yeah, it's cylindrical.
So what I was thinking is, like, halfway through the campaign, someone invents YouTube, and then all the paladins go around murdering people and posting apology videos.
Is the invention of YouTube, is it at all related to the plot or the character's actions, or is it just one day a town crier comes running through like, hear ye, hear ye.
Come watch. My job's obsolete.
Come watch this video.
Yeah, just 5 sessions in, YouTube is invented. There's a technological revolution from medieval technology to modern technology and occurs over the course of 20 minutes.
Oh, see, I was imagining more like a Palantir kind of thing.
Palantir?
The magical scrying orb from Lord of the Rings.
Ah, I'm a real nerd, I know things. Your wizard invents summon YouTube comment section.
Oh god.
Evil aligned spell. But yeah, I think... I also like this does imply that your god was aware YouTube was coming and put this in preemptively.
If your god is omniscient, then they're going to know that YouTube's going to happen.
And we are moving closer to Catholicism.
We are.
The Pope invented YouTube canon.
I mean, the word canon does come from the church.
Yeah, as does the word YouTube.
It's short for Eucharist Tube, which is Catholic YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube was originally invented to allow priests to do the mass over, like, a long distance. And then someone thought, what if I upload a cat to it? And, you know, since then it's all been a hotbed of sin, and that's why Jesus won't come back.
How quickly we're inventing new heresies here.
The Pope is coming for me as we speak, but luckily we do have a YouTube channel, so technically nothing we do counts as a sin under the Catholic Church.
Side note, does it count as attending Mass if you watch a pre-recorded video of it, or does it have to be a live stream?
I think you have to, eat the Eucharist for it to count. So there needs to be some kind of like printer which prints it for you. Anyway.
People attended church over Zoom during lockdown.
That's true.
So can it be pre-recorded is my question. Anyone who knows the answer, feel free to message us.
The question here wasn't how fast can we piss off the Roman Catholic Church. The question here was Paladins atoning via YouTube apology video.
Yes. My question about apologizing via YouTube video is, do they have to mean it? And is there some sort of role to look like you mean it?
Like, okay, so it is, yeah, so it's a YouTube apology video. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they don't have to mean it. They do have to roll the deception check to fake cry and go, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. I'm so sorry I let you down. Let me bring out my ukulele. I think it does imply that redemption gets easier the more fans you have.
I mean, is that not kind of true?
Yeah. Like, you know,
on a societal level.
The oath works because God doesn't want to risk you, like, not running his sponsor anymore to your highly popular video community.
The more stands you have, the more haters you can survive.
Yeah. Yes, I did burn down that goblin village, but God is being unfairly restrictive about it. Please send him hate mail. Like, if God's will be...
Send hate mail to a god.
Like, with prayer, presumably. Like, you know, you go to the church and you pray, and the prayer you go is, dear God, stop being such a fucking asshole.
I mean, I'm sure people have done prayers like that.
Yeah. Like, in a world where gods are, like, just beings that show up sometimes,
mm-hmm.
presumably, like, you could just use prayer to go, dear gods, would you like to go 50-50 on some Ben and Jerry's ice cream? There's a sale, and what have you. I feel like there's a lot of stuff with, yeah, this isn't some abstract concept or distant being. You can go to the church and give the priest a letter to hand to God, and then you'll get a letter back in 5 to 8 working days.
I mean, that is a good point, because in a world where gods are provably real, and I had to try really hard not to do the inner world voice there. In a world where gods are provably real, and you apologize to them and make it all okay.
Like, it's... Yeah, like, it's just one of those things that's gonna have, like... Like, because it's not gonna be like you serve these gods out of, like, loyalty. It's where you serve these gods because they give you the best bargain. You get a, like, 5 prayers and your 6 for miracles free kind of thing. I just love this idea of capitalist gods.
I mean, I feel like a lot of D&D players do pick their characters' gods based on... It's not like, you know, what tradition was my character raised in. It's what will benefit my character the most.
Yeah, like, and I feel it's like it works pretty well here. Like, you know, just in universe, it's... Yeah, my family has worshipped this god for 5 generations. But that sun god over there gives me a cool sword, and I would really like a cool sword.
I like the idea of when you do those videos, the gods can like or dislike it, and the ratio determines whether or not you get forgiven.
There's like a divine YouTube, but only the gods can see it. And you just, the only way to interact with gods is by uploading YouTube videos.
Yeah, you get in the Eucharist tube, you make your apology, and then the gods click the thumbs up and the thumbs down.
And loaded.
They think you mean it.
And loaded the gods ratio them into oblivion. And loaded they post hateful screeds in the comments section.
Except for one very low-level mischief god who just wrote first.
I think what we're creating is a universe where YouTube comment sections are like emblemic of the divine.
I guarantee there is a game where that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, I feel it's most games because the gods are being played by the GM.
Oh, I meant like in-universe that is the case.
Hmm. But yeah, it's a kind of weird idea of the internet being a connection between the divine and humanity. Which is terrible as an idea.
Yeah, have you seen the internet?
Hmm. Subscribe to God's Patreon. And he'll release an extra miracle a month.
That's just tithing.
Yeah. See, it's all fitting together. Yep. This is why the Pope invented YouTube. This one, in fact, every time you search on YouTube, the Pope gets to see your search history and adds it to the sin list.
I think the last thing I searched on YouTube was how it's made bubblegum, so you know.
Adding to the sin list.
If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
Like, the Pope just has like a little, like a big book with everyone on Earth's name, and underneath it is all the sins that he deduces from your YouTube search history. I don't think I'm answering the question at all. I think what I'm doing is creating some really weird Catholic punk setting.
It's the new genre everyone's been talking about.
It's like cyberpunk, except you get an implant that turns you into the Pope.
Only one person can have it at once, and when you die, they take it out and put it in someone else.
Like, this is where you get another medieval war of the popes.
Yeah, instead of the cardinals all voting on who becomes the next pope, they get in a fist fight over the pope implant.
Yeah. There's a new Shadowrun idea.
But questions? Anyways. Last time on Tales of Morterra.
Arson!
With cat-like tread upon a prey we steal.
The sorcerer's going to try and surf on the horse.
Get dead? You want to kill me?
I'm a wizard, I've always got plans.
Tales of Morterra, an actual play podcast. Available wherever you're listening to this right now.
Our first question is anonymous. If I'm running Prohibition-era Fate, how do I get the characters together? I mean, I guess a speakeasy would be cheating.
I mean, okay, it says Prohibition-era. It doesn't necessarily say it's in, like, Prohibition America.
That's like, true. It's Prohibition-era, but we are in China.
Yeah. You know, it also doesn't necessarily specify, like, American Prohibition. Maybe the elves have banned alcohol.
I feel like, for the sake of argument, we should probably assume this is, like, interwar USA.
So, okay, so the obvious ones are speakeasy or you're in the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Less obvious ones, you're the alcohol.
I mean, Fate can be anything, right?
Yeah, you'll play
a bunch of bottles of beer.
You're being smuggled into the speakeasy, and due to, I don't know, a fairy godmother having been stabbed nearby, you've all achieved sentience, and you need to escape the mob before you get drunk. And you can't go to the police, because obviously they'll arrest you, because it's illegal to sell alcohol and presumably be alcohol. So you need to, like, escape through Prohibition America and get to some place where alcohol is legal so you can start a new life as sentient bottles of whiskey.
And I am just making a note to do that as a future Patreon game.
There's like Yeah, you'd have an obvious reason why you're together, because you're in the same box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why you're working together, because the mob wants to drink you and the police want to arrest you.
Like, Prohibition-era things, all I can think of is you all meet in a hat shop. And you all want to buy the same hat, which it turns out is a plot item.
It's also been brought to life by the fairy godmother.
Yeah, it's just less relevant.
If you stab a fairy godmother, she grants a random wish. That's just how they work.
And sometimes it's the wish of an inanimate object.
Yeah. Yes. So we've got a fairy godmother. Which wasn't the question. I'm not doing very well at sticking to the questions. I think, do the sentient alcohols, like, grow arms and legs? Or is it like a Lego movie thing where they can move around but humans see them sort of rolling on the floor and stuff?
I think they roll around, which is really tricky because they're bottle-shaped, so they can mostly just roll in a circle.
Yeah.
They have to kind of switch around as well.
Like, yeah, the sloshing is presumably how they move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so other things is you're the mafia, but, like, not the good mafia. Like, you've got the good mafia, who's Al Capone, and then you've got you guys.
This is a hot take.
Al Capone did nothing wrong. Like, you know, he was the big mafia.
Oh, you mean good as incompetent?
This is a staunchly pro-Al Capone podcast. Yes, so you got the big mafia, and that. Although I do like this idea, you've got the good mafia, and then you've got the evil mafia.
The good mafia, the bad mafia, and the ugly mafia.
You're part of the ugly mafia. There's also lawful and chaotic mafia. Lawful mafia is not very successful.
I think chaotic mafia is just regular crime.
Yeah, like, I guess
organized crime.
Yeah, like, we're like mafia, except there's no mob boss. We just break into your house. Chaotic mafia, or as they're also known, Steve.
Okay. Potential actual answer is you've all been arrested. Possibly for, like, alcohol crimes, possibly for other stuff. So then you start with a jailbreak session. Because those come up a lot in games, but I like the idea of starting with one.
And then you go sell alcohol. You're okay. You're all wizards.
The thing actually is we don't know what side these characters are on. Maybe you're all cops. Who knows?
You're all wizards. And in this setting, wizards have to be drunk to use magic. So obviously, it's not a good time to be a wizard. So you need to, like, run the alcohol trade to get enough alcohol to use your magic.
I think you might have invented my new favourite urban fantasy premise.
Yeah. Like, wizards have to be drunk. Because, like, you know, normally when you're sober, like, you're like, oh, I can't throw fireballs. That's impossible. But if you get drunk enough, you're like, fuck yeah, I can throw fireballs. So you need to be drunk to use magic.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why Prohibition was implemented. The whole Christian thing was a cover. It was to stop wizards from overthrowing the US government.
And then by the time Prohibition ended, everyone had forgotten that the wizards were real.
Yeah. People still haven't figured out wizards are real. But yeah, you need to get drunk. You need to smuggle enough alcohol in. And, you know, you're interacting with the mafia and what have you to get enough alcohol to use your magic to stop, I don't know, demon clowns or something. Al Capone is a warlock, and warlocks are like wizards, except while wizards can only use magic when they're drunk, warlocks can only use magic while committing crimes.
Like D&D.
Yeah. Clerics can only use magic when they have a holy wafer in their mouth.
So I think we've answered that question.
Yeah, I feel I've got some really good urban fantasy session settings here.
Yeah, I kind of want to play in this, like, drunk wizard setting, I'll be honest.
You add that to the list of homebrew games. Our second question is also anonymous. How do you think an eclipse would affect werewolves? I think, like, they'd be in wolf form when... No, because no, the sun's up and then the moon comes over it. If it's the moon's up... Okay, apparently I just don't know what eclipses are.
The sun is up.
Yeah.
The moon goes in front of it. The moon is not necessarily full.
Like, I feel if anything, it's the opposite of full, if you're counting full as completely illuminated.
I'm trying to find out what phase the moon was in during the last eclipse.
Like, so what I feel...
It was not full.
Yeah. So, like, what I feel like, would happen...
Does it depend on the lunar phase?
Okay, so while you're looking it up, my reasoning is so the moon is full when it's fully illuminated.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's the opposite of that. The moon is fully in shadow, the light is behind it. So you become the opposite of a wolf, whatever that is. Maybe a big cat?
I think the opposite would be a small cat.
Oh, yeah, you become a kitten. The alternate thing is, like, you become a wolf, but, like, only in the middle?
In the middle?
Like, your arms and legs are still human, and your body and head are wolf.
Okay, the total eclipse, was it on the 8th?
I believe so.
That was a new moon.
Ah.
So, like, the opposite of a full moon.
Okay, but it's also the opposite of an eclipse. Like, it's also inverted by an eclipse, so I think you just become a standard werewolf. Let me just... We need like, a math formula here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, so... I feel like it's, you know, when it's a full moon, you become a werewolf. When it's a half moon, you become half a werewolf. But then the eclipse inverts it.
I feel like that kind of makes sense, because... The moon is becoming relevant at the point when it isn't normally relevant, so it makes sense that it's, even when it's a new moon, its powers would still be stronger.
Yeah. Like, okay, so if on a new moon you don't turn into a... then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think, like, on an eclipse, nothing happens really hard.
You become the most human.
Yeah. Or you just aren't able to change in any way, like you can't change your location anymore or your clothes or anything.
You cannot form new memories.
You're just in suspended animation until the eclipse stops.
Yeah, you just get, like, eclipse amnesia.
See, that seems not implausible.
Because if you can't change in any way, that means you can't form new neural pathways, right?
But hear me out, you can't change in any way, which means the Earth moves from underneath you and you shoot across the landscape at thousands of miles an hour.
You never meet a werewolf. They all got shot into space during eclipses.
If you ever hang out with someone, the eclipse happens, they're just yeeted into a higher orbit. Now you know why. But yeah, I guess they would have to be, like, still in relation to the land.
Yeah, like, gravity is still working on them, it's just that their bodies can't do anything.
Yeah.
So you stand perfectly still during the eclipse, but you also don't remember having done so.
Mm. Which is probably really unnerving for everyone around you.
For you, like, the eclipse is just, like, you blink and the eclipse is over.
And you're in space. I think, but that would imply, okay, so what happens if it's a new moon when it's an eclipse? And if it's a full moon when it's in eclipse, you turn into a super wolf.
Because the moon is at its most powerful.
Yeah. Like, I think, okay, at a full moon and an eclipse, you turn to a wolf even if you're not a werewolf.
It's a full moon during an eclipse, you turn into a wolf and you don't change back.
Yeah, but you're just stuck there.
You're just a wolf now.
Yeah.
But with human intelligence.
Hmm. That's where wolves came from, fun fact. yeah, this is a little known fact. Yeah, and...
presumably when the moon, where nothing happens during an eclipse, is I think it's called a quarter, when it's at, like, a half moon.
Yeah. All the werewolves just split in half.
They become half wolf, half were.
Like, down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can see why werewolves are so rare now.
The only reason that werewolves are still around is that they travel elsewhere when an eclipse is happening. Mm. So they don't get caught in the totality.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... I feel like the alternate thing... Oh, okay, with half eclipse, you turn into a human and a wolf and you just, like, split into two beings. And now there's just a guy and a wolf there. And again, that doesn't wear off when the eclipse ends. You just live your new life now with your wolf buddy.
That's the only way to cure lycanthropy.
Yeah.
Is to witness an eclipse and it's also a half moon.
Yeah. Be sure not to mix it up with the full moon, because otherwise you... I guess that does technically cure your lycanthropy. You no longer turn to a wolf when the moon is full.
Yeah, it kills it in much the same way that if I shoot you in the head, you no longer have the flu.
Yeah. Like, people say, oh, lycanthropy is hard to cure. It's actually really hard, really easy to cure. It's just, you know, usually you don't have a person afterwards. All problems are easy to solve if you have a high enough level of acceptable collateral damage.
Words to live by. So if you have a question, you can message probablybadrpgideas on Tumblr or probablybadpodcast@gmail.com.
You can't contact the Pope, but we're working on it.
I mean, you can contact the Pope, it just probably won't get to us.
I guess, you know, you can show up to the Pope's house.
I mean, it's a tourist attraction.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah, and if you want to support us and get access to all sorts of stuff, like RPGs and a Discord server and some other stuff, you've got to sign up to find out. You can go to patreon.com/probablybadrpgideas. I don't know why I was being so coy about it.
If you want to get something...
Well, hey?
We cannot promise... I bang any of you.
Have a probably bad day.
There's some very weird energy in this recording. Have a very bad... Have a probably bad day.
No, have a very bad day.
Have a very bad day. Get fucked.